As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a children's book. Maybe some of you have seen it, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It's a good one. And in short, basically, this kid wakes up and everything goes wrong. His whole day is shot right from the beginning. He wakes up and he realizes he'd fallen asleep with gum in his mouth, and now it's in his hair. He trips on a skateboard. He drops his sweater in the sink while the water's running. At breakfast, his brothers find prizes in their cereal boxes, but Alexander doesn't. All he has is cereal. He has a really bad day at school. When he gets home, you'd think it would be over, but then he has lima beans for dinner. And he just decides, I think I'll just move to Australia. Compare that to 2020, okay? A little look back. In January, we thought we might have been headed into World War III. Then in February, we had wildfires in Australia. Then March and April, the coronavirus. May, murder hornets. June, riots. I mean, there's some humor in this, but if we have to look at all of this taken as a whole, we've been through a lot as individuals, as a nation, as the world, as a church. And there's still 5.5 months left in 2020. Wow. Right? As I talk with folks, I'm discovering that people seem to feel a bit lost or disconnected or forgotten by God or just isolated from one another. I mean, this might be the biggest crowd you've been in a while. I don't know. But when we have that sense, we can take comfort in the everlasting love of God, in his faithfulness, in his mercy, and in his presence that never leaves us. And this is evident in the scriptures today. Psalm 86 is a beautiful psalm. It teaches us a lot about prayer. You know, we only had one little section of it today. I encourage you to read the rest of it later on today, or maybe if you're having a time of prayer later on this evening, take out Psalm 86 and read the rest of it. But it's attributed to David by most scholars, although there's some question, but it's not really for a particular occasion, but it teaches us about prayer. You know, David's life was not easy or perfect, was it? If we think back, he had people hunting him down to try to kill him. You know, we think 2020 is bad. He was going from place to place in the wilderness trying to escape. He had sinned and committed adultery and then murder. His reign was tumultuous, yet in all of this, he knew that he could rely upon the unchanging nature of God, that whatever circumstance he found himself in, whether it was his own fault or not, God could be trusted to be good and to be merciful, to be loving and to be constant. David was granted grace that he did not deserve, and so are we. Some good news for 2020. We see some things about God and his disposition towards us in the psalm and really throughout all of the scripture lessons today. And the epistle in particular has some wonderful news for us that will not change no matter what happens in the next 5.5 months. This epistle lesson identifies us as heirs, as adopted children of God. That sounds kind of churchy, right? Yeah, heirs. Joint heirs with Christ, adopted, great, heard that before in the scriptures. What does that actually mean? It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's deep. We're going to look at it here together. Without Christ, we are all foreigners. We are not citizens in God's country. We are not allowed into the borders of God's kingdom, not even for a visit. You think it's hard to get to Canada now? Nobody gets across except for essential business travel or if you have a dual citizenship. But without Christ, not even that happens with God. You can't go and visit and come back. We are strangers to God without him, lost in our sin. We do not belong to the family of God, but rather to the family of mankind, lost in sin, facing God's wrath. In Christ, not only are we reborn or born again into the family of God, but our citizenship is moved. It's changed. We go from one citizenship to another citizenship, from one allegiance to another allegiance, from one family into another family. Our family name without Christ is sin and loss. Our family name with Christ is redemption. Colossians 1:13 puts it this way to describe what Christ has done for us. For he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. We're picked up and moved by God's grace in Christ from one place where we had no hope to a place where we have all hope. Another place in Scripture from Galatians, this talks a little bit more about adoption. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. The difference between being a slave and being the child of God is huge. It's a tremendous gulf between being a slave and becoming an heir in God's family. We don't even really fathom it today, perhaps. We don't see a lot of slavery around and family statuses and things like that. We see people fight over their status in family and fight over what they're going to get when someone passes away. The inheritance of God in Christ is so much different for us. You know, there were some significant things that would take place in a Roman adoption. Some very significant things. The adopted person would lose all rights in their own original family and gain all rights in their new family. They would gain all the rights of a fully legitimate child in that new family. It wasn't like, well, these are the blood children and, you know, natural birth children, and this, that one's the adopted kid, watch out for him, he's a wingnut. It wasn't like that. It was equal. It was full. You know? Second, the adopted person became full heir to their new father's estate. Even if there were other sons or other people, if there were no sons or if sons were born into the family afterwards who were real blood relations, it didn't affect their right. This person becomes an inalienably identifiable heir. There's nothing that can take it away. This next one is really powerful. The old life of the adopted person was completely wiped out. It wasn't like, well, you used to be a part of this family, and now you're a part of this one. If they had any debts, they were completely canceled. Imagine having all your debt canceled, you know? Wow. Just by changing families. If they had any record of crime, it was completely abolished because they were starting fresh in a new family. They wiped out all their record as if it had never even existed. That person's life as they had been born was no longer there. And the adopted person was regarded as a completely new person entering this new life with nothing of the past dragging in on them. In the eyes of Roman law, this adopted person was literally and completely and absolutely the son or daughter of the new father in every sense of that word. Completely their child. Nothing left of the old life. Kind of reminds us of that scripture, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is past, all things are made new. Pretty amazing. So when we think about adoption like that, it's a wonderful thing. All the claims of our past life upon us, all the debt, all of our crime, everything that we've done or had upon us is gone, and we've gained all the rights and privileges of our new family. We have become an heir to our father's estate. The past life is obliterated, it's blotted out, it's gone, and we are completely the sons and daughters of God. And you see this throughout Scripture. There's lots of stories of adoption in the Old Testament. You can go back and read some of them if you're interested. I can give you some suggestions. But it outlines and shows what happens in adoption in a biblical sense. And then we look at being adopted into the family of God in Christ Jesus, and all this stuff that weighs upon us is lifted off of us. If we truly knew the weight of our sin and our lostness and what God takes off of us, the relief would be amazing. You ever held a heavy weight for a long time, and when you put it down, you feel like you're floating? Oh, it happened to me once or twice when I thought I was real brawny and was trying to lift 150 pounds of feed just because I could. You take it off your shoulders and, ooh, all that weight is gone. Sometimes you don't even realize you've been carrying it. Throughout the New Testament, we see this imagery of adoption over and over and over again in different places. We see it when you become a Christian, when you trust Christ, you enter into the very family of God. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. Reading this morning, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. This is God saying, listen up. I know what I'm talking about. Quiet down. God's preaching. Okay? The next verse, I am the first and I am the last. He's saying, I started this and I'll end it. Besides me, there is no God. Nobody else is in charge. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. If anyone else thinks they can do a better job than me, let them try. Who has announced from old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. This is God saying, I hold the past, the present, and the future in my hands. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. This is God saying, look at my track record. Trust me. I've got this, and I've got you. Is there any other God beside me? There is no other rock. I know not one. This is God saying, be assured, you can count on me, and I will never fail you. When 2020 seems like a bad year, remember the timeless promises of God. Take heart. Have faith. Look to heaven. You have a Father who loves you with his entire eternal being, and who, if you have trusted Christ, has adopted you into his family. The old is gone. Live into that new life. The challenges and trials and discouragements of this present time are filled and restored by God's mercy, love, and grace. In the name of Christ. Amen.